Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here,
reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
If you're a parent and you're giving your kids social media accounts, what kind of parent are you? I was like, okay, fine. Did you know that we are, what do we really worship? Do we worship God or do we worship the phone? And I was like, please, there's got to be a better thing for guys in their 40s to do than to wake up one day and be like, I'm thinking about getting the flip phone. Shut up. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that's too big to rig. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. Welcome to The Crunch, a podcast where we talk about a topic about the intersection of faith and culture.
Whoa, dude.
First time anyone's ever done that, mm-hmm. but we like to have jokes along the way. We think more people should have conversations like this, and we're glad you're here. I was in a meeting with Michael Gormley.
I saw
a couple
that.
Of days ago.
You sent me a screenshot of that meeting, and it was people from like every side of the compass of my life. It was actually kind of crazy.
And Gomer was like, yeah, we do something at the intersection of faith and culture, which when we started saying that in 2011, it sounded new.
At least he's self-aware. That's the nice thing about Gomer as a millennial, as an elder millennial, is he knows what he hath wrought upon us. Like he is aware that his generation has ruined media. It's his generation's fault that Star Wars sucks now. It's his generation's fault that Marvel sucks now. Everything used to be cool. It used to be fun. You'd go see Iron Man 2. You'd watch Sam Rockwell do his little dance up on stage. Love him watching him do his little. And now it's like She-Hulk. You know, Hulk's a lawyer now. Whatever happened to, back in my day, Hulk would smash things.
I know.
Now Hulk is smashing objections in court. Yeah.
Now Hulk is smashing through the glass ceiling.
Ooh.
That's what it is.
Hold on.
Hulk smash gender norms.
Hold on.
Hulk smash. Yeah, I love your just laundry is right in the shot.
Can you see it?
Of course I can see it. It's in the shot. It's right behind you. Just pants.
Mom, I flew up. Got you twice.
I don't know why I wasn't expecting that earlier. I don't know why I wasn't expecting that. What's the too big to rig thing from? I need you to play that video for me.
Yeah, I will. So here's the thing. A lot of people, if you started listening to this podcast like a week ago, you might think that I'm just the biggest Trump fan. And I'm not. Like I'm not. I didn't vote for him in 2016 because I was a principled liberal. And in 2020, I don't.
Were you a principled liberal in 2016?
No, I was a principled like Catholic at the time, you know, who I was beginning my, you remember the 2017 Ethan was kind of a communist arc.
Yes.
We
had just started recording in the 2016 during the 2016 election.
Right. So I was like starting to learn all of these left-wing things from people on Twitter that I end up now I disagree with, but at the time it was novel. You know, so I was like, oh, this is obviously true because I've never heard of it before. And and so I didn't vote for Trump in 2016. I did vote for him in 2020.
Everybody makes fun of me for being a liberal because they all started listening to the show in 2019 and 2020.
Right. That was you. Yeah,
Ethan was like that was Patrick's a liberal arc. Ethan was a liberal long before I was.
Anyway, I like to think I'm more in the middle now. I did a podcast about this a few weeks ago or a few months ago about how I went too far. I'm always going too far one way or the other, as is the nature of man.
Yes.
I don't, here's the thing. I don't love Trump. I love that there is someone in American life who is funny.
Yes.
I just like that. Like, that makes me happy as someone who values funny. And so Trump's doing this thing. I want to break down this clip for you because this is a comedy podcast. And I think this is really important that people understand why.
This is a master class.
You're about to get this. Normally I would charge $10 a month on Patreon for this, but I'm going to give it to you guys for free. Hold on. No, just Trump shut silence. All right, here we go. This is the clip. Ryan, don't splice it in because I'm just going to play it on my freaking phone like a Neanderthal.
These elections, let me tell you, if we could have honest elections in this country, I would have stopped campaigning 2 weeks ago. We would have had it, babe. Mm. But we don't have that, so we're watching it very carefully, and I'm working my ass off to make sure we get...
People cheer when any politician swears.
We want to be too big to rig. You know, there gets to be a point where they can't rig it, so we have an expression. Charlie and I were just talking. It's called too big to rig.
The reason that's so funny to me is because he says it twice. Yeah. Before he introduces it as if it's the first time he's ever saying it.
It There's sounds something like about he that that's thought of so, it and was like, he's yeah. like, it sounds like he thought of it right then.
Yes.
He was like, oh, this is gold.
This is too big.
We've actually been talking about this for a while.
I was actually
me
just
behind the scenes.
Me and
it's called, it's an expression. It's
me and C. Kirk.
Rick.
Too big
me and,
to rig.
Me and Charlie Kirk. Oh my gosh.
That's just so funny. But that's the power of it. It's like everything feels... That's why people like him, is because even if it's rehearsed, everything feels spontaneous,
it feels good, and off the dome.
And so, like, that is just so funny. He's like, yeah, too big to rig. You know, if we can make it big enough, it'll be too big. You know, we have a saying that we were talking about backstage. It's called, he says, it's called. It's to me, it's the, when he says it's called, because it's like, we've heard you say it twice already.
What do you mean? And he doesn't like introduce it as a concept and then go deeper. He's like, it's called too big to rig.
This is the name of it. And that's all you get. That's
he doesn't
all you
explain
mean.
What big means.
Right.
Like how big, like the movement, the votes. Yeah. Votes no. aren't big.
Right.
I personally, Trump is like 6'4", right? Yeah. Trump is too big
he
to rig.
He is too big. He would be too large for most harnesses.
The election is too big to rig. Like, it's the election is so big you can't rig it. That must be what it is.
No, he's saying that if they get enough, like if the vote is 55% to 45%, then it's you can't rig that many votes. But if it's the vote is 51-49, then you can rig it because it's so close.
Yeah,
is what he's saying. So close, but if it's a landslide in every state, then there's no way to coordinate that type of a rig. Yeah. Is what he's
it's
saying.
Good. It's a good It's a good way to counteract the election fraud paradox, which
I haven't played this game.
It's if you accuse,
is it on Steam?
Election. If you accuse election fraud, you basically guarantee your opponent winning the next time. Because if you're right, they will rig the election. And if you're wrong, your people won't vote in the election. So this is a good way to kind of counteract the election fraud paradox.
I figured it out. Most chairs, it's like a flip. It's like a lever up. This one, it goes out.
You should come back up because I know you're below me right now.
I was trying to get even with you.
Yeah, it's a little difficult, but
here we go.
This is not unique, by the way, to the Republican Party. The accusations of rigging the campaign has happened on both sides of the aisle. Mm-hmm. It's just. We lose, like, when something becomes characteristically right wing, everyone forgets the time that it used to be characteristically left wing. Like taking vaccines, for example. When Trump made the vaccine, being opposed to the vaccine was an incredibly left wing thing. And all of a sudden it switched right after Trump lost that election. It's kind of I'm old enough to remember.
You are.
We're
all very proud of you. Very proud of you. I had another point that I was going to say about this. Oh, I don't think it's good politics, to be clear. I think his politics leave somewhat to be desired in terms of reaching the, you know, true human flourishing and what all.
Mm-hmm. But you don't think leaving every international treaty that we have is good politics?
I think it's better than staying in all of them, but maybe there's a middle ground.
I don't think it's better than staying in all of them.
You don't think so? You think that we should be beholden to the whims of every small to medium sized European nation out there?
I think that when the question is, this is the price of empire.
That's true.
This is the price hegemony. Of empire. Yeah. I think when it comes to the question of should we destroy all of this or should we maintain the status quo, if it's like 50-50, which one you go, always err on the side of maintaining.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know that it's the fabric might be weaker than you think.
Yeah.
You know, global peace is a fairly recent phenomenon. And even now it's fiction.
Yeah.
It's barely there. It's just there for, you know, Western.
I have a lot of thoughts on this. I think we should talk about this in the bonus podcast. I don't want to sully the good name of the main show by telling you all of my opinions about NATO. I don't think that would be interesting nor uncontroversial. I think I have a lot of opinions about what NATO is and what the letters should stand for.
Never attack.
Tomato, ostrich. Here's the thing. I had a big problem today. Yes. Can I tell you about my big problem?
You can.
I'm in a hotel
room. You started to tell me about the problem, and I'm excited to hear it because we're gonna get
that's a different
ancillary
problem.
Oh, I was like, we're gonna get ancillary clout. We're gonna talk about Matt Fred.
We're gonna talk about Matt Fred. Yeah, we're talking about
Matt Fred.
I think
that's what Ethan is gonna be upset.
I have a
about.
Couple, but if you can see right here over my left shoulder, do you know what
you
that
got
is?
Chipotle. Yeah.
I did get Chipotle.
Did you do the phone thing? And
what's the phone thing?
There's a thing going around where you film Chipotle people putting your food in so they don't stiff you.
Why? How would that make them how would that incentivize them in any way to not stiff you?
I don't think people realize how little Chipotle employees care about the bottom line of Chipotle Incorporated.
Here's what I do is I feel like I'm not getting enough in my portion. I just say, hey, can I have some more rice, please? Hey, can I have some more beans, please? Hey, can I have some more pico, please? Like a normal freaking human being, you know? And then usually, as long as it's not the meat one, and even sometimes with the meal, it's like, hey, can you throw a little more on there? Sometimes they do it, sometimes they don't. But as long as you're cool and chill and you're not doing this, you know, then like
trying to catch them in 4K.
Yeah, like nobody wants. If someone came and recorded me at my job, I would not be inclined to perform well.
I will say, do not order Chipotle for pickup. They will skimp you because it's not that they are skimping you. It's that they're just trying to get the order done as fast.
Because there's so many, because everyone is doing DoorDash for Chipotle. It's always worth the time to go. Anyway, so I go to Chipotle because I always go to Chipotle when I am on work trips because there's no snacks. This is what people don't talk about. There's no snacks on work trips. So you need something that's going to fill you up till the next day. So like I eat dinner at 6. Breakfast's not until 6:30 the next day. That's 8 hours.
This is how most people eat.
What do you mean?
Most people like eat dinner and then stop eating.
You don't have a little snack before bed?
No. In fact, never.
Little sneak down the kitchen, go doop-a-doo.
I might have... If I have not had a peanut butter and jelly for lunch, I will eat a peanut butter and jelly after dinner.
So you do have a little snack. So you just lied earlier. Earlier when you and me were talking, you lied to me.
No, it's like immediately after dinner as a dessert.
Oh. But you never get like ice cream or you have a little cookie or something?
Maybe. Not recently. I've given up refined sugar.
I think that I'm not alone in the post-dinner, pre-bedtime snack.
Okay, probably.
Sue me.
Not.
Put me in the guillotine. If that's
I just think I don't think it's as so universal a thing that like being without it for one day is like noticeable.
I'm not saying it's noticeable. I'm saying that if I don't get a snack,
so much on this.
I'm saying that it's hard to be away on business because I don't have the affection and love of my family.
Yes, you know what I mean? Or the little
I have to sleep in this
shredded cheese that you eat like it's a claw machine.
Yes.
I have to sleep in
this big, beautiful king bed by myself. I have this whole room.
Oh, bro, you want to know the most disgusting thing that happened?
I'm all alone. Yeah, I guess after I finish telling my story, maybe I'll want to hear about your story. But So I like to go to Chipotle because I like that there's that it's enough food and I don't need a snack. I'm not hungry till the next morning. That's the key, right? I go to the Chipotle. I like to get the Sprite mixed with the lemonade. Like that's my little, you know, you go you. You did it. You're on a business trip, right? We're all very proud of you. Sprite not working, right? It's just coming out as like the disgusting carbonated water. There's no syrup. It's awful, right? I notice there's no bubbles. So I like stick my nose in there and just all of the carbon, whatever from the soda just goes up into my nose and my brain. I have a fungus. I go over to the ice machine, no ice. I go to the people, I say, hey, there's no ice. And they say, yeah, we're out of ice. I was like, what do you mean?
Doesn't it make the ice?
Yeah.
Sorry. Does it make ice? Does the soda fountain machine make ice? Or you have to
surely
pour
there's
it?
An ice. There's an ice maker in the soda fountain. Surely.
I'm remembering having to pour ice into the McDonald's soda machine.
You didn't work at McDonald's.
I did.
When?
For
you worked at Bob Evans.
I worked at McDonald's for a summer when I was in high school.
Oh, okay.
Proud to be America's number one first job.
Maybe they were out of ice either way. So I had to get all lemonade. So I have this big cup of warm lemonade. Essentially, the experience is ruined. What's the point of going on? There's no ice in the hotel. So not only am I...
ice machine on your floor?
There's no ice machine on the floor. I looked in every nook and cranny. Wow. So not only am I full, I don't have any ice in my lemonade.
Wait, hold on. That was only one bad thing. That's only one bad thing.
So what's your story? Man. What happened to you?
I slept in a bed for 3 days, and it wasn't until day four that the blanket was all messed up, and I pulled the bed sheet, and I saw in the corner of the blanket that I've been using all day, there was just a bright yellow stain. It was disgusting.
From who?
From a person who had previously used the bed.
Oh, this is in a hotel.
Yes. I know. I had been using the blanket.
That's
and it was
so
like at the
gross.
Bottom corner.
Dude, yeah. That's so, was it wet?
No. Oh, okay, it was just sweat. It was
maybe it's just
it
maybe
was
someone...
hopefully a sweat stain. Hopefully.
Maybe someone broke his yellow highlighter in the bed.
Here's hoping.
People my always tell me that I'm too optimistic.
My brother did that thing where you hang the do not disturb sign the whole time so they never come in your room, which as I've become an adult, I've stopped doing. I love it when I come in and they've folded my PJs.
That is kind of nice.
I love that. Yes. It's great. And then they change your sheets, but yeah.
I'm never here long. I'm only here for one day, so I'm not going to get the wonderful experience of a turned over room.
No, it's so nice, man.
It is nice.
It's the finer things.
It is. I had something else. I had another like small dumb gripe. It's just crazy. Like go to a place and be like, we're out of ice. Like because
it's like, sorry, is this were we in Fallujah? Come on,
are we in some backwater village?
Is there an IUD outside? Wait.
Yeah. Is this
IUD?
I did this joke the other day. You stole this joke from me.
No, I that was a serious accident. I didn't mean
I did
to
a
say
George
IUD.
Bush. I did a George Bush impression. I pretended to not know the difference between an IUD and an IUD.
There is an IUD outside of Union Station right now in Washington, D.C. We saw that.
I have been wondering. So Em and I have this ongoing conversation, and I wonder if you can help me. So sure. You're familiar with salt, yes?
Yes, I was thinking about this conversation this morning. I was like, who said that again? And it was you.
It was
I'm
me.
So excited to talk about this.
I wonder if you can answer me this, Mr. Guy Who Knows Everything on Twitter.com. Freaking genius butt face. So when you get salt, it's sodium chloride, right? Which is a mineral rock. That you mine, that you, so there's salt mines, and that's where you get the salt from. It's like the Morton Salt Company has child slaves that like use big hardened French fries from the bottom of McDonald's bags to hack away at the salt mines to get the salt to put in the Morton container. that goes in our kitchen, right? What happens when the mines run dry?
I don't.
Are we out of salt?
I don't. So I've thought about this and I've researched it briefly.
You have?
I just Googled it. And okay.
What did you Google? What was the phrase you put in the bar?
Will we run out of salt? But my, I'll tell you what my first
child salt mines country photos.
Get flagged for that one.
No, but not those types of photos. I want
my immediate
I want to see the behind the lines journalism. Yeah.
Whatever you anyway, my immediate thought is salt is so abundant that we're never going to run out of
we're
it.
We're never going to run out of it. First thought. Right.
My second thought is the ocean has a bunch of salt. You know, like the Dead Sea, they were freaking out at us when we were there. They were like, "Do not get it in your eyes. Do not swallow it. You will die." Like there's so much salt in that water that if you get it in your mouth, you like dry up like a prune. They have EMTs there waiting to treat people who accidentally drink the salt water. If you drink it, you'll just immediately vomit. There's like no, there's so much salt in it. So there's gotta, I don't think we're ever going to run out. But then I looked it up and apparently salt is a renewable resource.
No. Where does it come from? It's
That's
a rock.
That's what I'm saying.
Does it come from the sun? Like does the, like when the sun, this is my understanding of how the solar system works. The sun sends out protons that meet, that go out and then they find a neutron that they like. And then depending on how many neutrons want to be with the proton, it determines what type of salt is made.
Okay, this guy's a dweeb. So he's like, no, sodium and chlorine make up the table salt. Never actually goes away. It just goes through various chemicals. Yeah, dude, I know the atoms aren't destroyed when I poop the salt. What I'm saying is the sodium and the chloride are no longer together.
Right.
Like we have a bunch of hydrogen and oxygen, but that doesn't mean we can make water.
Yes.
It's Here's not
my like the, so the, your point is like, okay, let's say we drain the salt mines. And then now the process is we have to desalinate the ocean and the Dead Sea, thus separating the fresh water from, and we'll just have piles of salt.
We should start with the Dead Sea, is what I'm saying.
But there has to be, how are the men that work on the rigs going to get their electrolytes if we're out of salt? Like if it's gotten that bad.
I don't think we're going to run out of salt.
But how do you know? Eventually.
There's so much of it.
How have we not? There's so many. There's billions. Everyone uses salt. There's soy sauce. There's French fries. There's what else uses salt? Gatorade.
Will humanity ever run out of salt? It's as nearly as unlimited as we can imagine. Unless we poison the oceans to make sea salt from evaporation untenable, it seems unlikely. There are places like. It will not affect ancient salt deposits from being mined in places like Salzburg, Germany.
Okay, hold on.
Does Salzburg, is that where salt comes from?
Salzburg.
Salzburg, Germany?
Salzburg.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
It's Salzburg, Germany.
That's that movie about that creepy
salt
kid from Ireland.
Continuously flowing back into the ocean from runoff and sewage. Gross. The amount of mineral dissolved salt is so vast it can never be consumed. Okay. I don't know.
Okay,
man.
That's just not true on a long enough time horizon. But I guess if it's
put
like,
enough monkeys in a room with enough typewriters,
right? If you give enough monkeys, if you get enough monkeys enough truffle fries, it'll consume
truffle fries, man.
Yeah, maybe because of the cycle. I forgot about the water cycle, about how the ocean. Don't laugh.
It's funny. You're just like, oh yeah, the water cycle. Shoot.
But the ocean evaporates and it goes into the clouds, and the clouds rain. And then the water goes into the ground.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't explain like where we, like, I guess if we're not getting it from the mines, do we just get it from the ground?
I think so.
All right. That's fine.
No, the ocean.
All right.
I agree with you. It is weird that we're so dependent upon something that is non-renewable and yet seems virtually.
Yes. It's unlimited. Nobody, it's everyone, a lot to do about the fossil fuels, but not enough to do about the salt is all I'm saying.
But also the additional thing is like table salt, as we know it, it includes iodine. It's iodized table salt. And iodine is a necessary nutrient. So my question is, will we ever run out of iodine? That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah. We'll talk about this next week.
We're going to talk about iodine next week.
Yeah. You said you wanted to table salt. So I figured that we'll just wait until next time.
Yeah, that's funny.
Today we went to a place called the Putt Shack. And
the Putt Shack, it's a little old.
And I said it to my wife on the phone, and she was like, "You're where?" And I was like, "The Putt Shack." And she goes, "Why are you at the Butt Shack?" She was not trying to be funny. It was amazing. It was one of the best top 10.
Oh, she said it like in her earnest Emma voice.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Why are you at the
Butt Shack?
I say that like as a special voice, just her voice, but it's like she said it. I know what she sounds like.
Oh yeah, that unique, genuine voice that Emma uses sometimes that she rarely ever busts out.
No,
what the my wife, bro.
She's like, she's saying it in earnest, like, "Why are you at the Butt Shack?" Not like offended or anything. Yeah. Just curious. Why are you there?
What are you doing?
Oh, why?
You're on a work trip. I was at the Putt Shack today, and we were talking about Top Golf, and we were like, Top Golf would have been miserable today because it's 100 degrees, whatever. And my boss, my CEO, said, "Yeah, those are great. They've got those misters." And I said, "Yeah, do they have the misses there too?"
Nice, dude.
And everyone booed me. And I was like, I was really quick with it. Like, I thought that was pretty good.
That's good, man.
I got booed.
You gotta give it up. You gotta give it up. People don't like puns because they think they're supposed to not like them. There's some millennial like cringe. Like,
I mean, there's bad puns, certainly. Yes.
I think what happened was this is the life cycle. Is people were like, "I'm really into puns," and they'd like manufacture puns that are not very clever.
Yeah.
And they'd like be really like, "I'm a guy who likes puns." So it kind of became like hacky to do puns. And so people were like, "I hate puns." And then there's always that friend who loves doing puns and that friend who hates puns. And they always are like, "I do a pun," and everyone's like, "Oh my gosh, that was so bad."
And the problem is that the guy who says, "Oh my gosh, this is so bad," is just slightly less annoying than the guy who's insistent upon being the pun guy. So this is the problem. It's a matter of degrees. It's like if you're 1% more annoying, then everyone's going to not take your side. And that's the problem with pun guys, typically, is that they're just a little bit more annoying than everyone else.
Puns are great when they're quick.
Yep.
They're fun. I like them. They're Shakespearean wordplay. I love it. It's good when the parochial vicar at my parish, he does not get puns right away. I've tried a couple. I was talking about the parish, anyway, it's not very clever. I was talking about that parish. I'm not going to be able to set it up without giving away the pun.
No, keep going.
The priest bit a lady.
Yeah.
I was talking about like sending an idea. That's in my diocese. We know the priest.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about an idea that I had for the parish, and I was like, "I don't know. I'll ask him." I asked him before. He didn't get back, but I think he'll bite. And
nice.
And thought, he like kind of breezed over it and like didn't pay any mind to it, and I was like,
it's hard. It's hard out there to be a young street soldier like you and me, you know.
That we're talking about the salt mines. Will the content mines ever run out? That's the dangerous.
Well, that's actually part and parcel of what I want to talk to you about today.
I love when that happens, man. 8 years of podcasting, that's what'll happen, buddy.
Yeah, it's
content mines ever run dry? Well, we have to evaporate the ocean in order to get new content.
Unfortunately, hopefully I think not. Over in the land of Steubenville, the content mines are beginning to run dry.
No, what's going on in my old stomping?
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich.
Mm.
And a crispy golden hash brown.
Ooh.
And your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
all for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle, available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
I like Matt Fradd. I like Pints with Aquinas.
We are one of his biggest defenders because
we are, truly
not liking Matt Fradd is kind of cringe.
It's in vogue now to not like Matt Fradd, which makes it kind of like, what are you doing?
Because he smokes cigars.
He smokes cigars.
He's like one of those bro trad Catholics. We're not like them.
Yeah.
All right.
It's just people hate other people that are successful. Like, if you offered any single person who criticizes Matt Fradd, like, hey, would you like a talk show that has 500,000 subscribers on YouTube where you can talk to whoever you want about whatever you want? They would leap at the chance.
Including people who are like actual real life celebrities and not just our celebrities.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a great program. I have very few issues with it, but this whole time, there's this particular guest that was on. I listened to the episode because there were some good nuggets in there just about community. And someone that lives close to me was like, hey, I listened to this and I may be, you know, really excited about doing more with what we're doing and, you know, all these other things because we have a small community of families that try to live very intentionally together. We're not very good at it, but we're trying. And she sent it to us and was like, hey, you guys should check this out. So I was on my drive, so I was listening. And I think it was a fine episode, but there's something in me that makes me, I don't know, you need to tell me if this is like pride or vanity or something, but this guy is like a dad and we just got to the part of the podcast where he started talking about social media and it was just so tired. It was so boring where he was like, if you're a parent and you're giving your kids social media accounts, what kind of parent are you? I was like, okay, fine. Did you know that we are, what do we really worship? Do we worship God or do we worship the phone? And I was like, please, there's got to be a better thing for guys in their 40s to do than to wake up one day and be like, I'm thinking about getting a flip phone. Shut up. Like that. I don't know what it is about that, like the middle-aged, because I think it upsets me so much.
Digital minimalism is on the New York Times bestseller list. Do Nothing is on the New York Times bestseller list. A World Without Email. No one disagrees with you.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone hates this.
Yes. I have a thought that I need to not forget, but I'm going to write it down so I don't forget it. Because the thing is...
this is a nice little shot right here.
Yeah. The thing, it makes me so angry because it feels like stolen valor, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yes. So? I feel like a soldier coming home from Vietnam. Like I'm exiting my mid and early 20s, right? I'm becoming a family man. I'm getting started in a career. You know, I'm having a lot of fun building a business with my buddy, and that's you. And I'm like, you know, I'm just doing projects in my home. Like I'm kind of exiting out of like the turmoil of your early and mid 20s and kind of getting into the different kind of turmoil of young family life and, you know, your job and your 30s and all these things. I turned 28 in 13 days and I'm having a lot of feelings about it. But so to go through like everything that I've gone through in terms of like social media, being on Twitter, being on Instagram, having a podcast, being on Discord, being on Twitch, I've had experience with all of these platforms. I've been on Reddit. I've been on 4chan. I've been on YouTube. I've seen TikToks.
I've been on LiveJournal.
I lived through Vine. I've been on World Star Hip Hop. I've been to all of the websites that your grandma's afraid of, except for those, not those, not those. So to hear this guy be like, you know, I was on Facebook and it really disturbed my peace. I'm like, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Like it drives me insane because he just saw it as like a purely bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
When like there's been so many beautiful and wonderful things that have happened in my life because of online, social media, whatever. I went to Israel with a bunch of people because of online social media. I have a podcast that's like leading to all these cool opportunities. I'm meeting so many cool people. I'm doing things I never thought I would do, like because of social media. I'm learning things that I never would have learned otherwise. I like have a, arguably like the community that exists, my, like I have a godchild that I wouldn't have if not for social media. I have, I would have met my wife if I wasn't on social media. So to hear this guy come on and be like, I'm thinking about getting rid of my smartphone because I think it's evil to be on social media. I'm like, you don't know anything. And I don't know if that's just me being young and prideful or if I actually have an argument here.
Probably a mix of both. So you and I like went through this. That's partially what it is.
I know.
Yeah. When we were going through our like grappling with, I mean, I remember where I was when I decided to get back on Twitter. I was like sitting in the parking lot of a church in Pittsburgh. And I was like, man, I miss my friends. I miss these specific people. And I was like, and now I use a Twitter account that's separate and it's interacting for those specific people and that only. And my main account is for business stuff. But anyway, I remember, and this is the funny thing is a lot of people misinterpret like the Cal Newport thing where he's like digital minimalism. They think of it as like digital escapism, but his like digital detox thing is get rid of all non-necessary electronic communications, catalog for 30 days, catalog the things that you're missing from your life. Consider how can I regain those things using these tools and none of the bad stuff. He calls like the attention resistance. How can I manufacture this tool to use it the way that I want? And so it's not as cut and dry. It's actually easier to get rid of your smartphone and pretend like it's not there. And it's only easy if you're like 40 or 50 years old.
Yes.
You're not trying to build your career. So there's no need for you to network online with people that are not in your immediate circle. You aren't with other young people who care. You have your friends already. You don't need to keep in touch with people. You're probably getting rid of relationships than you are like gaining new ones, you know? And so like a lot of the benefits that come naturally from social media are very young people benefits. Like the reason why teenagers want to get on it so quick is because they want to connect with their friends in person. And I do think there's an argument for keeping kids off of social media. I think
100%. Yeah.
It's super, but like Katie Ruvie, our friend from Is This For Kids, her approach to Katie Rubalcaba, our friend from Is This For Kids, where they review movies and ask the question, Is This For Kids?
And that's Is This For Kids? It's on YouTube and everyone can subscribe to it.
Everyone else can go to it. It's very fun. If you like this podcast, you'll probably like their style of conversation. But John is very much like me, the inner me of like, yeah, this has a sex scene in it, not for kids.
Yeah.
And Katie, I was surprised when
Katie's much more cavalier with what she shows her children.
Yeah. And it's probably because she has a teenager and five.
Yeah. Kids. It's
She's
different.
Like, I can't control what they do. Right. But Katie's like, instead of the shelter, she's the shepherd. She calls it the shepherd strategy, where it's like, look, this is a thing that's real and it's media that you're going to be exposed to. Let's have a conversation about it. And she's so this is so successful in that like her kids come to her when they see something they know they shouldn't and they talk to her about it. And it's like, that's such a great, that's just a great place to be. And so like the almost with ourselves, right? Like we prefer the sheltering of ourselves. It's also like, I wish that I had not gone on social media when I was a kid. I wish that I hadn't like downloaded Netflix on my iPod when I was young.
Right.
You know, like I wish that certain things, I'd done certain things that would maybe have made my brain develop a little better when I was younger. And I wish that those safeguards had been in place, but it wasn't. And so when, you know, I got to move on. We have to deal with the thing that we have. And so I think his point, I understand where he's coming from. I'm in that same boat. I feel that same way too.
Yeah.
But there's too much good that can come out of it for us just to dismiss it whole cloth.
Yes.
It's a long, long walk drink of water there.
No, I think you're 100%, especially that your point about like your place in life when you're in your 40s and your 50s, it's just not a coincidence that all of these guys wake up one day in their 40s and 50s and realize like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna get I'm going to be radical about the faith. And it's like, well, it's easier for you to be radical about the faith now because you don't have super young kids. You don't have to hustle and grind as much for money. Like, it's easier, you know? But then this is the other thing that really got me. It didn't make me upset, but I was just like, oh, I wish I was in the room with this guy so I could talk to him. He was saying, like, you know, as Christians, we're called to live radically different from everybody else around us. And he was like framing, like, giving up the smartphone as this radical departure from worldly life that all Christians are called to. And I'm like, no, that's, you feel like this is what all Christians are called to because it's the thing that you want to do right now.
Yes.
You know, like,
yeah,
it's no different from the 19-year-old being like, God has called us to be together. Like, God has asked us to date, to make this sacrifice, whatever the thing is, you know, it's the same sort of self-fulfilling prophecy of it's, you think this is a martyrdom, but it's not really, because it's a martyrdom that you want, which makes it not a martyrdom anymore.
Yes.
Like, I can tell by how you're talking that you don't want your phone, which is fine, but you can't paint it as this like grand suffering because now you don't get to print. You have to print your tickets at the airport, you know, instead of having them on your phone. Oh, you wonderful martyr. You like, that's not how martyrdom works.
It also doesn't follow.
Yeah.
Christians are called to live radically different doesn't mean that you just give up modern you're going to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
You have a car. You know, it's like these are right. These are technologies in our society.
Why aren't you hitchhiking to the airport?
It doesn't follow. And it's fine and good that if that's what you're being called to do, I get it. I had a friend in college who was like, mm-hmm. I'm actually going to give up my smartphone. This is before a lot of this kind of became popular. But he was like, I am addicted. I am hopelessly addicted to pornography. And I'm going to handwrite all of my papers and I'm going to give up my phone. Like, I'm only going to use public computers. I'm not going to have, wow.
It's great.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that is radical. It's like, I need to do this for my soul.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yes.
But it's like, giving up the phone, while it is gonna it do a lot of hard things, it's like, this is a lifestyle choice that you want. Mm-hmm. That you want. That's okay. It's good. Just you this said this when I decided to do the no fried food, no sugar thing. You were like, mm-hmm. thanks for not being like, oh, this is something that everyone should do, because that is the tendency when you're doing a new thing. Mm-hmm. When I'm doing mm-hmm. a new thing, I'm like, mm-hmm. everyone should live like this.
Yeah,
it makes me feel better about the choice I'm making.
Yes,
morally superior.
Yes. You know? My friend Sam did this when I was a missionary. He was he slept on the floor, and everyone was like, wow, what a beautiful penance. He goes, it's not a penance. I like sleeping on the floor. It makes my back feel better. Huh. So like, everyone was instantly quick to be like, oh my gosh, Sam's sleeping on the floor. Should I be sleeping on the floor? He's like, no, you shouldn't be sleeping on the floor. He also had a flip phone. It's like, I have a flip phone because I like having a flip phone. I like the way the texting works. I like being able to the phone closed. I like not having the browser on my phone. It makes my life easier, even though it seems like it would make it harder. It's not something that I think you should do. And I was like, this is the perspective. It's like,
beautiful.
You can, holiness is not completely wrapped up in, and Matt even made this point, which I thought was correct, that like, a lot of times Christians are evaluated on their orthodoxy by what they do with their genitals. You know, like, do you watch porn? Do you masturbate? Do you fornicate? Do you contracept? You know, like, if you do those things, then you are not Christian, right? But he's like, but we don't have that with money or with technology. I'm like, okay, that's fair. But just because you have it with sex and with money and with technology, it still doesn't add up to like the fullness of what holiness is or the fullness of what a Christian life looks like.
You know? Shouldn't have that with sex, I think, actually. It's like, you know, I mean, it is true. It is true that if you're, I guess willingly doing it or stubbornly persisting in those sins.
Yeah. Like, if you know that you shouldn't do those things and you do them, that's like sinning.
Yes.
And like, contrary.
No, I mean, if someone is persisting in those things or is trying to avoid them and failing, I guess it's like,
yeah.
But if someone is like stubbornly persisting in those lifestyles, then that's so I want to make that distinction.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I just I don't know if it's like because I hate boomers, which is anyone older than me.
Yeah, 40-year-old is not a boomer anymore. I know.
I genuinely don't know if it's just like that particular style of Gen X Catholic masculinity just really rubs me the wrong way. Cause I think it does sometimes. But it's partially because it's like, man, you're almost my dad's age and you're just now figuring stuff out that I figured out 10 years ago, which is probably a grace that God gave me to put me in the spot that I needed to be at the time I needed to be there, you know? Yeah. But it's also like then frustrating to have to sit there and act like, wow, you're so smart. You wrote a book about it too. That's so smart. It's like there's a billion books about this. There's a billion talks about this. This is not, you aren't the first one to come up with it, which is, I wouldn't say this to this guy's face. You know, if you're listening, fellow,
I would never say it to your face.
I would never say it to your face, but I would say it behind your back on a podcast. So I don't know what the right response is, but there needs to be a third way. What are you doing? Are you not paying attention to me?
I'm looking up the guy. I want to see the guy. I want to know who it is.
Oh, I'll just say which episode it is. People can go listen and make their own judgments. It was
Dr. Age?
No, it was Neo-Paganism, Abortion, and the Fall of the West with John Daniel Davidson.
Oh, I don't know this guy.
Yeah.
Dr. Gage is awesome. He's been on our podcast before. We scooped you, Matt. We had Logan on before.
We got him first. And curtains for you.
And it was weird because he told me to call him Logan, and I was like, you were my professor in undergrad.
No one should be named Logan. I firmly believe that, actually.
Except for you, Dr. Gage. You rock. He's even though awesome. I got a B in your class because I didn't really know what metaphysics was, but I had to take it.
Let's end this podcast now, unless you have more thoughts to add.
I don't. I love, you know me, I love a good media digital minimalism podcast episode. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that you picked something that's in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for, man.
It's in my wheelhouse.
I just wish you would have seen me in the car driving 80 miles an hour southbound on I-35, just being like, shut up. I was so annoyed. It's probably because it was 6 a.m. and I was driving, but this was a good way for me to process those emotions and let go of that negative energy.
Ethan texted me at 7:15 my time, 6:15 his time. Hey, call me when you're free.
I was driving.
That's so early.
I had been driving for an hour at that point.
I did call him.
And you did call me. Free. We had stuff to talk about.
Oh boy, we did.
Okay. We got to do the dating podcast because I got work to do tonight. I got things. I have deliverables for the catamaran man that I got to get done. So we will see. If you like this podcast and you think that our unique blend of comedy and orthodoxy in the Catholic faith is something that should be more in the world.
If you say the words, our unique blend of orthodoxy and humor, you feel free to donate money to our podcast because you're probably old and wealthy.
Yes.
Or just old. That's patreon.com/thecrunch. That's patreon.com/patnevy.
Patreon.com/thecrunch is the place to go. If you like this show and you want to support it and you want more of it, we do bonus episodes every week for the $10 a month tier. So if you join that tier, you get a bonus show. There's also a $5 a month tier. If you just want to chip us a few bucks, you get access to the Patreon Discord that way. So lots of perks to be had. We're on the road to 200 patrons, and we lost one since last week, and we have not gained more. So I am once again asking you.
I know who it was. It was a dear friend.
Oh, it was?
I forgive her.
What'd she do?
She became Greek Orthodox.
Latvian Orthodox. I just watched that episode. It's a good one.
I'm just she just said, I found community in the Greek Orthodox Church. I'm just happy she
Wait, did. Actually?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. That was in her exit survey.
That's crazy. Did we push her away?
I think we might have. I think we may have, or we pushed. Yeah, we maybe said too many pro Greek. Her family.
We need to start being more racist towards the Greeks.
Her family is Greek Orthodox. In fact, I think there was a thing where like one of them, like my friend was not he wasn't baptized Roman Catholic, so like he couldn't get confirmation or something when he was trying to get confirmed.
Yeah.
So they had to like formally receive him into the church and then confirm him.
Weird.
Because you're supposed to get confirmed. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
This is not an Orthodox podcast, so I don't think we need to know.
Wait, no, it is. We blend humor and orthodoxy, but just not orthodoxy.
Not that kind. Not capital O orthodoxy.
No.
Patreon.com/thecrunch if you want to become Greek Orthodox. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
If you are thinking about giving up your smartphone and getting a flip phone, you can always just mail your smartphone to me and I can have it.
And we'll smash it with a hammer live and we'll send you a new light phone.
Yeah, don't get those. Those are clunky.
All right, thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you and we'll see you all next time. Bye.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this, or this, or even this. Well, case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.